Yeah.
And so even if it had been a good idea and something beneficial for the country, which many would argue that it was, this demonic power must have gotten into it. You know, that's what happens when an altar is not dealt with. That's what happens when God's people do not do spiritual warfare the way he tells us to.
Right.
Then we all become subject to it, because they didn't just create a bank. They created a banking system that every one of us have become subject to. So think about this. You've got money that you receive as a ministry, or that you, when you earn, I'm sure you tithe and give offerings. On your money is idolatry. It's printed right on your money.
Right.
And you're using that money. You're coming into the house of God, and you're laying that idolatrous coin or dollar bill on God's altar and saying, I'm giving you this as an offering.
Wow.
What if the living holy God hates it?
Wow.
We don't have a choice, because we're subject to it.
Yeah, that's why they call it circulation, because that's exactly what we're doing. We're circulating a talisman that has evil attached to it right from its conception.
Is it possible? Now, I'm not saying thus saith the Lord here, but is it possible that a lot of the financial blessings and a lot of the things that God has promised his people, and that we're supposed to be the head, not the tail, and we're supposed to be, we ought to be running the world in a righteous, holy way, not ruling over people in a mean way, but just bringing wisdom to every single industry.
Right.
I think it's real possible that the reason why many people in the body of Christ struggle financially, even when they're doing God's perfect will, even when they're walking out their ministries as best they know, is because we're forced to do business was something idolatry, and we must be bringing a stench before God's eyes when we give him an offering with it.
Wow. That's why he says that, you know, I don't want your offerings. I want praise. I want worship. I want prayer. You know, it's tough, because everything we do, I mean, from eating to living and electricity, I mean, everything we do costs money. I mean, we're trapped in an evil system.
That's what I'm saying, that we become subject to it against our will. Either we didn't resist and say, no, we don't want that. We didn't elect our representatives to represent us correctly, because they deviated from righteous wisdom when they passed this bill to allow idolatry to become the circulated means of exchange. And the fact that we are subject to that says there's something wrong in the land, not just something wrong with our hearts. There's defilement in the land, and then there's defilement in our hearts. And, all right, now, to relate that to Scripture in one way, without deviating too much from the story, I want to tell you the rest of the altar part. But when I was in Israel the last time, I was studying out with some of the rabbis that I know that passage of Scripture on Jesus turning over the tables. And I was meeting with some Orthodox rabbis, but they were respectful of the fact that I believe that Jesus Yeshua is the Messiah, and I asked them some hard questions, and they asked me some too. But one of the questions I asked them was, why did Yeshua need to turn over the tables at the temple? What was going on? I assumed, and had been told by other pastors and ministers, that they were probably cheating people at those tables. They weren't giving them a fair exchange. They were, using dishonest scales, and Jesus knew they were cheating, so he threw their tables over. I got quite a different answer from the rabbis. One of them pulled the coin out. And he said, this is an ancient coin. I carry it around because it was minted here in Jerusalem. And it was discovered and found by a friend of mine when we came back to the land in 1948. It was found in the vicinity of the Temple Mount. And he said, this was called a Jerusalem shekel. It was minted from the time of David all the way up to the time of the temple being destroyed in 70 A.D. Only it was changed once during that period. He said, when David ordered coins to be minted, it had a menorah on it. But during the days of Herod, this coin had the same weight, the same, you know, constitution. It was mostly silver, and it was a set weight exchange. But he said they changed the picture on it. It was no longer menorah. It was the face of Baal.
Yeah.
And so he had the one that had Baal's face on it.
Wow.
And I asked him, I said, you're a holy man. I can tell you love God with all your heart. Doesn't it bother you to carry that coin around? He said, yes, but that's why I carry it around. It reminds me how easy it is for Israel to become subject to idolatry.
Yeah, us too.
Because he said it was priests that minted this coin with the face of Baal.
Wow.
And it was a wicked king named Herod who ordered us to do it. And it was Rome's influence that gave us a benefit for doing it by making it something circulating that would make us wealthy but not holy anymore. And so he said, when he said, I'm not going to try to tell you that I think Yeshua is the Messiah. He was pretty adamant that I don't agree with you on that. But I'm searching that out because my best friend lived his whole life trying to prove that that was not accurate. And he died telling all of us in this room that he had come to the conclusion that Yeshua was the Messiah. And because he was my best friend, I'm searching that out in the scriptures now for myself. They said, however, whether that's the case or not, historically, if that's accurate, what Yeshua did, he did Israel the greatest service when he turned those tables over. I said, I don't understand. Why, what exactly did he do? He said, he said publicly, this, my father's house is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. He said, that phrase doesn't mean you're cheating people at the table. It means you're robbing men of their souls.
Wow.
He said the reason was because Herod required a temple tax, and the priest of that day were corrupt, and they required tithes and offerings and taxes to be paid. And the rules in scripture was that whenever a census was taken, a half a shekel for every male had to be paid, whether you were poor or not. And he said Rome required a census to be done every year so they could collect the tax. And so he said to pay that tax, you had to come into the temple and pay it with a shekel or a half shekel. And the only shekels that were allowed were ones with the face of Baal on it.
Wow. The face of Baal in the temple of Jehovah.
Yes.
Wow.
So Jesus was saying to the whole city that day, stop giving your money to these priests. Stop putting it in that offering plate.
Wow.
Don't do this anymore. You're robbing your sons and daughters of their souls because you're trying to bring something idolatrous in front of the face of a living God.
Oh, man. I mean, I've been saying that without even knowing what I'm saying, because this is what you're saying is new revelation for me. But, I mean, I've been saying for over a year now that I hate carrying at least a dollar bill in my pocket because that's all. The whole thing is to Baal. It's Nimrod. I mean, I call them Nimrods.
I mean, it's really easy to get up. When you learn the truth, it's easy to just want to move somewhere else or want to just give all your money away. It's worthless anyway. And at the same time,
right.
But it's our means of exchange. What do we do? You know, I'm thinking about Psalm 11, when the foundations are broken, what do the righteous do?
Mm.
We have to repair the foundations in order to lay hold fully of the righteousness, and then it's not just in our heart, it's not just a hope or a desire, but it should become the law of the land because it's good for everybody. It's not forcing something on others that's bad. It's giving them righteousness and peace and joy and freedom, which is what our country was established for. So I took note of that, and I'm sitting there at Jekyll Island suddenly, and the rabbi's words were ringing in my spirit, and I'm just weeping, yeah. Going, Jesus, we've become subject to something evil. We're being robbed of our souls. Is this going on in your temple in America like it was going on when you turned the tables over in the Temple Mount?
Yeah.
And the Lord just said to me, absolutely it is. And it's not just that, but it's got a blood oath and a covenant with something evil attached to it. And its evil design is to enslave you. And while I'm standing in the parlor, the Holy Spirit says these words to me. He said, son, are you free? I said, yes, I'm free because you made me free. He said, no, you're not. You're a slave. Because you have debt that you're
right.
Not fully paid up.
Yeah.
And I said, well, yes, Lord, I know that, but, you know, I'm not behind on my bills. I'm paying it, and I've asked you to clear my debts. I've asked you to help me get that done, and you've promised me you would. He said, I know, but you need to understand what's happening today, why this was so important, why I needed you to come here instead of go home. Because he said, right now, if I gave you the money to pay off all your bills and your house and your car and all your possessions and your credit card, if everything was paid off, would you then be free? And I said, yes, Lord, I wouldn't owe anyone anything but to love them. He said, you still wouldn't be free. Because you're a citizen of the United States.
Right.
Right now. At this day, you owe about $30,000 just because you're a U.S. citizen, even if your house was paid for, your cars were paid for, you had no other debt. You owe that money because you're a citizen and because your representatives have put that debt on you. And because the generation before you was more concerned about what they could have than they were about you as their child. I was like, man, Lord, I didn't know the deficit was that much for every individual. And he said, well, what I'm about to do is to bring judgment to that, but you need to understand it's going to get worse before it gets better. Right now it's about 30,000, but before the year is out, it's going to go up to about 300,000.
Yeah.
And I went, my God, Lord, what are you getting ready to do? He said, I need you to break this altar. Help me break this altar. And then I'm going to bring a judgment into your land. It's not a judgment on the whole country. It's a judgment on this system that is enslaving my people. He says, I'm going to judge death like I judged slavery in the Civil War. And he said, it is the same thing. Only this system has enslaved the world, not just enslaved you as a citizen.
Right.
And so I said, well, how do we break an altar that I can't see and I can't put my hands on? And I'm in a historical house. I don't want to damage the house. What do I do? And the Lord said something funny to me. He's like, whenever he says my name, it's kind of like dad, you know how your dad would call your name and you know, I better pay attention. Timothy, how big is your spirit? I went, Lord, I hate it when you ask me questions like that. I don't know the answer to that. You know the answer. Tell me. He said, how big do you think your spirit is? I said, I really don't know, Lord. I know that, the word says I sit with you in heavenly places, and I know I'm right here on the earth, and somehow that's possible to be in both places at once. You're in me and I'm in you. I don't really know how to answer you. He said, you're big enough to sit in my realm and stand there at the same time. you believe that? Yes. He said, I want you to pray until you can see my face and until you can see the altar in the spiritual realm. Don't worry about the other gentleman. He's going to sit quietly while we do my business. I said, all right, Lord. So I started praying, shut my eyes, and began praying intensely. And probably 15 minutes, I began to see in the spiritual realm, and I could see his face. And he was smiling. He was just smiling. It was like he was almost giddy, like he was having fun, getting ready to do something fun. And he's just looking at me. He goes, do this. And he stood next to the altar, and suddenly I could see it. And he's on one side, and I'm on the other. And he just says, in my name, and he kicked it. And so I kicked my side, he kicked his side. And a similar thing happened. It wasn't quite as dramatic as what had happened over in the Middle East, but suddenly we heard this crack again. I don't get that. I don't know what that's about, but something breaks in the heavens when this kind of stuff is done.
Yeah.
And our museum buddy jumps out of his chair. He's like, what'd you do? He thought I had broke the floor or something. I said, I didn't do anything. I just prayed. He said, well, I just heard a loud noise. What was that? I said, the demonic power that is dealing with this altar is broken. He said, well, what does that mean? What's going to happen now? I said, I'm not really sure, but I know there's going to be a great change that comes with everything that relates to this altar. So we, you know, finished our talk and walked out. I thanked him for the day, and I went back to my room. Prayed around the island a little bit the next day, and the rest of the day, and then had my supper and started home. About 5 days afterwards, I was in that parlor, the financial collapse happened here in the United States.
No, it was like 2008, was it?
Yeah, so it's what was it, Lehman Brothers announced.
Yeah.
That was the first thing that was already, I think, starting to happen behind the scenes, but they came out just less than a week after I was there, announced that they were bankrupt, and that was the beginning of the thing. Then the stock market just took a dive. So AIG, all of that stuff just started unraveling, and next thing you know, we got to have a bailout, and we end up with what we were told was a $600 to $700 billion bailout. Well, isn't it odd that we have a $700 billion bailout, but within a year, the deficit goes from about that amount up to $2.5 trillion.
Yeah, that's right.
How do you go to $2.5 trillion when you only added $700 billion?
Yeah.
It's because it's not just $700 billion. It was $700 billion to bail out, and then it was a floodgate of printing money to do anything necessary to stop the bleeding of the banks worldwide, because the whole system is unraveling that was standing on the power of a blood sacrifice altar.
Wow. Hold that thought for just a second. We got 3 minutes left in the live feed. The show will continue, but if you want to continue listening, you're going to have to call now, 619-789-6815, before the live feed drops off. 619-789-6815. Okay, sorry, go ahead, continue.
So what needs to be understood, I want the listeners to inquire of the Lord about engaging in spiritual warfare on a scale that we need to step up to a new level.
Amen.
At the same time, I don't want them to be zealous to go start commanding demons to get out of the way and not be wise and not walk in God's ways. So we need to get back in the scriptures and say, God, how do you change these things on a national scale? How do you want to deal with this stuff that's idolatrous, that's become normal in our midst? It's not enough to just gripe about the Federal Reserve or to just, you know, gripe at our congressmen for the deficit. The American people were shouting at their representatives to fix the problem, and we were not willing to sell our houses or to sell our cars or to get our nation out of debt. We didn't mind. Everybody cheered when more debt was put on to just stop the market from sliding.
Right.
And what we voted for was slavery for our grandchildren so we could keep our house today. And we've got to change our hearts or the world will never change its. We need to repent for the idolatry that's in God's house. We need to repent for all of the wicked ways that we're using money when we're telling the world we're serving the King of Kings. If Christians can't be trusted with financial things, we have no right to ask God to fix our financial system.
Right.
If we can't be honest with our business with others, then we cannot condemn someone that's wicked on a grand scale. So I've found that the authority to deal with this type of stuff does not come from spiritual warfare. It comes from laying your life down and living righteously and doing in your own life, in all of your ways, the things that the same way Jesus would do it if it was him. And if you do both, if you walk in God's ways and you keep the integrity of your heart and you listen and obey what the Word of God says, then he'll use any of us, even the three-year-olds, to go out and bring down principalities and powers and dismantle demonic structures, because he intends to bring all the nations of the earth into his inheritance. And to do that, we've got to unravel some things on a worldwide scale. Well, the thing then I began to ask is, I'm headed home and I know the financial system is going to be affected. I'm asking the Lord, how bad is it going to get? What do I need to do to prepare my own house? And the Lord made it clear to me. He says, I am not judging your nation yet, although it's being tested. He says, I'm only judging the bankers right now. But if my people do not respond to me correctly in this and do not watch and pray, this judgment will increase and it will come upon the whole land.
Yeah.
The last thing that I wanted to say that. Go ahead.
I think that's important to stress right now. This judgment is against the what was started on Jekyll Island. If in fact that altar was broken, and we choose to believe by faith that sonic boom was indicating that something you couldn't see was broken, and that shortly thereafter the markets begin to crash, that God is judging the system, but we as a people are going to, we're going to feel that judgment, aren't we?
Well, the difficulty of these things, because it's dealing with a national issue, is we have to feel the press of that, even if we're on the righteous side of it. It's going to affect all of us somewhat. You know, the market crashed.
Yeah.
The banks are in trouble. That means you may not be able to borrow anymore. Well, that's really bad if you in depth up your ears and operate that way.
Yeah.
But we're affected because we're not following in God's ways. But if we will make adjustments, we should be doing everything possible to get out of debt. We should be helping our brothers and sisters get out of debt. Now, we need to think differently with how we do normal things.
Yeah.
But even if we let this run its course and we survive it personally and prosper through it, still we've got a piece of money that wouldn't be of any value whatsoever if we didn't attribute value to it. Our dollars are only worth something because they're measured right. against something else. And the problem right. worldwide is every nation today, every nation is operating with fiat currency, and we're the ones that taught them how to do it. So this judgment is bigger than just the Federal Reserve. It's on a system that God does not like because it's dependent on being debt. The change that the Federal Reserve did was not just to change the facial picture on the money. What they did is they took the right that our Constitution gave to the Treasury Department to print the money and set the value there. And they said, let us print it for you and then we'll loan it back to you.
Right.
Think about the stupidity of that.
That's just crazy.
Wisely. I'm already making something with my own hands, and then somebody else comes to me and says, let me make that for you, and then I'll loan it back to you.
At interest.
Why would I do that?
I know.
It's mine to start with. I don't need you to print it for me and then charge me interest to have it. But that's what we did. We set that up on a national scale, and where was the voice of the righteous when that happened? Why was there not a public outcry? It's because we don't understand God very well, and we certainly don't understand his economy. So the reason why it's so grievous and why it is a stench in God's nose is because it forces us to have debt or we have no economy.
Yeah.
You cannot buy anything in this country without a debt being created, because if you buy something, that's the reason they print a dollar. So
right.
you buy a house and you ask for a loan, they print the money so they can give you the loan. That creates debt whether you are borrowing or not. Every sale, every transaction, every exchange has to create a debt now to be done. So that is not necessary, but it is something we chose to allow.
And unfortunately, due to technical difficulties, the show cut off right about this point in the broadcast. So this will conclude part one of Canaanite Altars and the Federal Reserve. We will continue our discussion in part two next week on the Revolutionary Radio Project. Good night, everybody.